I'm joined by Nicholas Kolyanidis, who is IVSC's Asia Director and also the Technical Director for the IVSC's Business Valuation Board. Thanks for joining us, Nicholas. I want to start by just asking you about your recent board meetings. The Business Valuation Board met in Toronto earlier this month in March. Can you tell us a bit about what was on the agenda at that meeting?
Of course, Richard, and thank you for having me. The meeting in Toronto last month was actually quite emotional because it was the changing of the guard for a number of our long-serving board members: Richard Stewart from Australia, Takako Iwata from Japan, Henk Oosterhout from the Netherlands, and Wolfgang Wolfbeser were at their last meeting. And so they have been they were stalwarts of our business valuation board. And of course, everyone was sad to see them leave. But we have new members coming on, and we will have a new chair in the person of Srividya Gopal, who has been on the board for a couple of years now, and who will no doubt fill Richard's shoes very adequately. Looking at the substance of our discussions, it was a mix of talking to external speakers and, of course, working already on the next edition of the standards. We had some very interesting discussions with academics. We had Matthew Scheffer from the University of Southern California talk to us about how LLMs are changing evaluation, and in fact, how these large language models understand what financial statements or what the text around financial statements and the annual report are conveying. And what's really impressive is how these large language models are in fact incorporating news and changes and nuances as they iterate. The other discussion that we had was with another academic from Canada, Ipek Yavuz. She came to talk to us about corporate social responsibility. So that comes under the ESG workload, and presented her paper, Corporate Governance and Greenwashing, Reevaluating CSR. And that was a really interesting insight into how management takes on board these CSR imperatives. And I think that will be obviously very important when looking ahead at the ESG influence on valuations. We also had a demonstration of one of our stakeholders' firms around AI, which was very impressive. And we spoke with Chris Paulson, who is a very preeminent professional in the business valuation community in Canada. And he shared his experiences around what's happening in business valuation and more generally around the needs for more valuers and better training for valuation professionals. That was for the external speakers. When it comes to the actual substance of our discussions, I think they were very much guided by the conclusions of our agenda consultation that we had last year. So we talked about ESG, we talked about valuation risk, we talked about technology, and of course, the discussions with these external academics and professionals informed our deliberations. But we also talked about more specific themes that are of more interest to business valuation around possible changes to the standards, discounts, premium, and other topics that business valuation professionals will recognize. So it was a full agenda, and we continue our work as we go.
Thanks, Nicholas. Yeah, it certainly sounds like it was a busy few days for you in Toronto. I think just picking up on the point around the engagement with external speakers, and I know that the Business Valuation Board have generally at every one of their meetings taken opportunity to meet local market stakeholders or experts to share their views on things. You've had a few meetings recently with academics, and I wonder if there's something that you can say about why it's important to engage with academics on some of the topics that you're discussing as a board.
Well, first of all, the academics The academics bring a new perspective on whatever the theme we're examining. So that's important, and I think that our BV board members and all the board members, in fact, are very keen to profit from these new perspective at a time when everyone is worried that in their professional practice they might be siloed, either in their specialism or by however their own firm does things. And so these are naturally curious and diligent people, so they're keen to get these external viewpoints. And in fact, these academics have been really very very important in writing some of our perspective papers, and I think most notably to the perspective about the perspective paper on the valuation of data about a year and a half ago. So it's a two-way street also, and I think that the academics are keen to get the exposure and to know that their work is trickling down to professional practice. And that, I think, lays the ground for a good collaboration between the academic community and the IVSC and its board members.
Before we move on to thinking about what comes next for the Business Valuation Board in terms of their work program, just picking up the point you made about the fact you had a number of members of the board that were leaving this time round in Toronto, and of course from April of this year you'll have a new group of board members coming in. Can you just offer some thoughts on, some of the benefits? Obviously there is a drawback to losing some knowledge that you have within the board when we have this cycle of new members coming in and board members leaving. But what are some of the benefits of that process?
Well, there are at least two benefits, and there are certainly many more. The first one is it's a matter of governance, because I think it's important for us to show to implement best practices, and best practices means rotating boards. And now we have in the BV board we have a full complement of 15 people, and so we have about three or four that rotate out every year. So I think that's a good cruising altitude or cruising speed, if we can say that. The other thing I would say, and the second reason, is that the new members bring specific knowledge that's important. For instance, we'll likely have at least one person who is very familiar with AI, artificial intelligence, and its implementation into business valuation. So that's obviously very encouraging. And more generally, the new members encapsulate the diversity of the BV community, whether it's through subspecialism or geographic and other traits. So I think we've got a very representative board right now, and so that's very encouraging.
And looking ahead then, what's on the work plan for the Business Valuation Board?
Well, believe it or not, we are already starting to work on the new edition of the IVS that will be effective in January 2028. So we're incorporating into our work stream the conclusions of the agenda consultation, where a record number of stakeholders gave us their feedback as to what we should be working on, and we're already structuring our effort that way. Of course, we're doing that in very close collaboration with the other asset boards and, of course, the Standard Review Board.
And what about future meetings of the board?
Our next meeting will be in Prague, in the Czech Republic. Where we will be welcomed by some very strong and dedicated stakeholders who are already lining up quite a few stakeholder meetings for us, and that's obviously very positive. And we will have the new that will be the opportunity for us to meet in person again and to meet the new board members. So we're really looking forward to that.
Great. And just switching hats a minute, from your business valuation board role to the role you occupy at IVSC covering Asia as a region. You've had quite a bit of engagement at a regional level over recent months with law firms and with the legal community in a broader sense. Can you explain what's happening in that space and why are you seeing a growing interest amongst legal firms to have you present details of the IVS?
This initiative started about a year and a half ago in Singapore, where we started a dialogue with law firms, adjudicators, arbitration chambers, and other stakeholders in the legal profession about the usefulness of the standards in judicial settings, in particular when it comes to disputes. And so that was that we realized that both arbitrators and the judicial in Singapore, but also in other common law jurisdictions, were using the IVS to inform their decisions. And so, in fact, the adjudicators are referring to the IVS. The expert witnesses are often using the IVS as a guideline, as examples of best practices. And so this has really started the momentum around this effort. In fact, we have then been called in by the law firms to deliver some specific training on the utility, on the main characteristics and the utility of the standards to the for the legal profession. There are essentially two use cases. One is in disputes where the standards are a very can be a very sharp instrument to cross-examine the adverse party's expert. And then you have contracts where again by the, some lawyers realize that by incorporating references to the IVS and into their contracts, they're preventing quite some bad surprises down the road. For instance, when the partners in a joint venture or a company disagree and one has to buy out the other, and sometimes a little bit of tightening of the language goes a long way in preventing bad surprises.
And what's the sort of general feedback that you're getting when you go in and you present on IVS? What's the takeaway that you're getting from those interactions? Wonderful.
Part
Wonderful.
of what we communicate around has to do with clarifying some very basic concepts around valuation. For instance, what is fair? What's fair value? The difference between or the and the complementarity between accounting and valuation. So some of it is this general discussion. The rest of the discussion is very much around standards. And in particular, the workflow in the general standards and how one goes from the valuation framework all the way to documentation and reporting, and of course, how one applies the relevant asset standards, whether it's a tangible asset standards or the business valuation or financial instrument. So there's really a lot of curiosity by the lawyers and the adjudicators around exactly how these standards can either allow better decisions for the adjudicators or give, frankly, a little bit of an advantage to the litigators.
Just thinking then about events that you have coming up at a regional level, both in person and also I know that you have many webinars that you're lining up as well. Can you talk in a general sense about some of those events that you've got on the program before?
We have a very busy schedule in Asia. Starting in April, we have a large conference that will take place in Jakarta, and that will happen under the auspices of the Indonesian Ministry of Finance and of MAPI, which is the Indonesian Society of Appraisers. That conference will also be the opportunity to convene the Asia Committee, which is really a committee of very high-profile volunteers from various jurisdictions in Asia that promote the IVS and the IVSC. So that will be an exciting event. We know that there will be several delegations from outside of Indonesia, and we expect several hundred people from Indonesia. So that's the next big event. We are also gearing up for our yearly series of ValueAsia Connect webinars, which we organize with our friends at the Institute of Valuers and Appraisers of Singapore, IVAS. So that's on the 20th of May. And we then have An event in Australia, which is the WAVO Global Property Congress, that is organized by the World Association of Valuation Organizations, WAVO, and the Australian Property Institute. That's at the end of May. And we have other projects. We have a webinar with a that is planned with a large professional services company. And we also are working on a possible roundtable somewhere in Southeast Asia with a government under the auspices of a host government. That we'll be releasing details of that project very, very soon. At the end of August, we have our traditional IFAS, IVSC Business Valuation Conference. It will be happening once again during IP Week in Singapore. So there will be a natural proximity with the IP community. And we expect, close to 1,000 people, as we did last year.
Wonderful.
And after that, of course, towards the end of the year, in October, we have our AGM, which is our the typical highlight of our of the IVSC calendar. And this year it will be in New Delhi in India. And there again, we expect a record-breaking
Wonderful.
Turnout as we did already last year in Hong Kong.
Wonderful. Thanks, Nicholas. And I think we'll have an opportunity in a future podcast to hear from members of the Asia Committee and other stakeholders in the region on some of the activities that you're overseeing and progressing there. So thank you for your time. Really busy period for the Business Valuation Board and for IVSC's work in the Asia region. Really grateful for your update, Nicholas. Thank you.
Thank you.